Broadcasting live from Whitman Field, this is AirVenture on EAA Radio, Oshkosh.
You're back here listening to Push to Talk on EAA Radio with our air traffic controllers from all over the planet at this point. I want to give out the phone number. If anybody has any questions, go ahead and call in and we will read your question to these guys and they'll do their best to answer it for you. And that number is 920-230-7987. So 920-230-7987 if you have any questions for these folks here in the studio today. And actually, during the break, we had a pretty lively discussion going on. I think we should go ahead and take that on the air. It's not just the ICAO versus the FAA phraseology, what we're talking about, but also
who's right and who's wrong.
Who's right and who's wrong, but with the metric versus English measuring system, mm-hmm. when you get into talking feet versus meters and pounds and kilos versus gallons, and that can present some unique and expensive problems.
Yeah, and we were just saying that we're not really interested in whether we use the American system, because we use feet mm-hmm. in Germany, and I've been doing that all my life, and I sure would hate to go to a metric flight level system. That would just really, you know, I'm used to working in feet, so it's not about who's right and wrong and whose is better or worse. It's just about let's get one standard and let's use it all over.
Standardization, that's it.
Because the world is getting smaller all the time, and we're getting more and more pilots from all over. Even in Germany, Chuck was saying they've got, I think you mentioned about Southwest Airlines, that they fly, they have pilots from all over. Well, we have Ryanair, for instance. It's a low-cost carrier. And we get pilots from literally all over the world who come mm-hmm. and fly 737s for Ryanair. And they're operating out of every airport in Europe just about. So they're flying from pretty much all the way up to Moscow. And these guys are really having a problem when you have a Romanian pilot operating an Irish aeroplane flying into Spain. And there's no standardization. So we really can't afford to have nationalistic views on these things. We really do need to be international, and we need to have one standard That's for true. Everybody.
Well, have there, and I haven't attended any of the international air traffic, the international air traffic symposiums. Do folks from China and all the other countries, I'm assuming you have.
I haven't had much involvement with ICAO so far or with the IFATCO guys. I've done a little bit of IFATCO work. Mm-hmm. We are finding that the Chinese, for instance, are getting on board more and more. They've come to realize as their aviation, general aviation in China was up until very recently non-existent. I think they had no private pilots. Mm-hmm. I believe recently I read an article that they have actually got some private pilots. And they've obviously got flying schools now, and as you were saying,
they've got at least 150 of them coming back.
Yeah,
so.
Well, there you go. So the aviation industry in Southeast Asia generally, we've actually just had a report that, I work out of Frankfurt. We have a Jet Airways. It's a new airliner that flies to India. Now, India used to have Air India, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Now we have Jet Airways. They're flying 737s. They're flying 777s. And they're out of Brussels, and we have 2-3 flights a day just going to India, and the aviation world there is exploding. It's mm-hmm. apparently it's unbelievable. It's just taking right off, and so now they're having to deal with issues that they never used to have in the past, and mm-hmm. they're suddenly realizing, well, we're now on the international market. It's not flying around India. We're flying all over, and we need to have a standard so that the guys
that we're
out
all working from. Yeah,
there you go.
That's absolutely,
and I agree with that. I mean, a worldwide type standard as far as, you know, the like you talked about, the flight levels, or, you know, even fuel. We were discussing the fuel
absolutely.
Problems
yeah.
where you're trying to load kilos, or you're trying to load gallons or liters, or then you have miscalculations happening, and the pilot doesn't have the right conversion calculator, and then they end up putting down in an emergency landing in the middle of Canada. So.
Yeah, and one of the things we said is Airbus Industries had a problem. They've actually converted back to, or they build a lot of their stuff using the American, the Imperial system, purely because the customer base is largely Boeing, mm-hmm. and it's always been Imperial. And, I mean, if you think about the logistics and the cost of sitting in a country that deals in metrics and having to import just the tooling to mm-hmm. make stuff in Imperial sizes for aeroplanes, so that these planes can be maintained and serviced all over. And of course, there have been instances where the wings have been assembled. The Airbus assembles the wings in Wales, I think, and I think some of the fuselage gets done in Hamburg, some of it is in Toulouse. They do parts of it in Spain, and the things come together, and then you're off by, say, a tenth of an inch, because mm-hmm. somebody was tooling in metric and somebody was tooling in Imperial. And when these things get shipped all around Europe, the chance for having a mishap is really, you know, there's
sure.
That was one of the reasons I don't know if it was a reason, but the 380 got back late is because I believe, this is the story I heard, the cabling in the wing came up short about 2 inches, and they had to run around a bulkhead or something, and they came up short. And it's because nothing is in one place, because different people are working on different things. And so I think the more spread out you are, the more it's important that you have a standard where everybody knows everybody's on the same sheet of paper.
Sounds a lot like that upgrade problem we were talking about with the...
It absolutely does. We were discussing a little bit about the difficulties you were having in Germany, just having your communications and the automated systems talking to the different countries that surround you.
Yeah, that's one of our big problems, is that when we buy a system in Germany, I was always saying in America it's real easy. The FAA is in charge and they can pretty much decide for everybody what you get. Whether you choose or choose not to have the same system, but it's a conscious choice. Mm-hmm. In Europe, I mean, my FIR butts up to... I work with the Belgians, I work with the Dutch, I work with France, the Swiss, we work with the Austrians, the Czechs, and the Polish, and the Scandinavians, so Denmark.
Okay, let me qualify something real quick, please. When you say FIR, you're talking about your air...
Okay, it's a flight information region. It's I don't know how it gets defined here.
I think that's how it's defined all over the rest of the world, and we call our airspace a little bit something different.
Well, what do you call it, Bob?
Airspace.
Airspace.
Okay, well, if you were working if you're out of a center in, say, let's just say Minneapolis, what would you call it? What would that area be that they operate?
Area.
Okay, so the Frankfurt area.
Yeah.
There we go.
We're real complicated here.
So much for
here.
Standardization. So just so we're on the same page. Well, everywhere else we call them FIRs, Flight Information Regions, as far as I know. And so we butt up to these other countries. And of course, there's a lot of national interests. The French, when they buy equipment, they might choose a French company. The Italians might choose an Italian company. And up until fairly recently, there wasn't a requirement for their systems to talk to ours. And
there wasn't compatibility.
Yeah, now we've actually had rules laid down where we've said, well, if you buy a new system, the minimum requirement is that our systems be able
to
communicate
to
on a base level.
Yeah.
Otherwise, our working procedures are just going to... All that ends up happening is you do everything verbally. So instead of having the
data... So it's manual handoff instead of automated handoff.
And it just cuts down on traffic. Every time you have to pick up... When I started out, you'd have to phone the French guys for every single thing. Nowadays, we have a data link, and we just send out the information. So pretty much 80% of the time, you don't have to phone them at all. The stuff goes out, and you know it's sorted.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start picking up the phone for every little thing, it does. You don't move traffic anymore. And
we're spending too much time on the phone.
Yeah. On the landline instead of on the...
I mean, we were talking about guys here not doing the D side. In Germany, we can't work without the D side. In fact, when we do ratings, the D side, which is just for the people who don't understand, there's a radar controller and what we call a coordinator or who does. And it's actually more difficult to get qualified on the D side on some positions than it is to do the radar.
Live traffic and then get off the frequency. And get back on the frequency. Yeah.
Well, we often find the guy doing the D side, the guy who does the phoning, is the first guy who can't cope anymore, who just gets where the traffic gets out of control, even though he's not talking to airplanes. The guy talking is fine. Right. It's the guy who's doing all the phone work who just gets behind the curve and then things go. So it's really, coordination is a big and important point. And the more it gets standardized and the more we have data transfer, the easier our lives become.
And that's something as a pilot, when I was working on this project, that I had no idea until I was privy to the communications that were going on in the controller side of things. What we hear on frequency as pilots is just a small bit of what's going on in that center or
Absolutely.
That TRACON, and there is so much coordination. I mean, when they give you that that frequency change approval, there was a fair bit of communication going on before that came about, and who can take it, and
and then you throw thunderstorms into the mix where the guy is, or
the
pilot's not, the pilots are deviating around thunderstorms. I mean, we're maybe talking several states of deviation at the high altitude sides,
and then you've got the D side,
and then you have the D side working with all the different reroutes, and then flow control gets involved because now there's a narrower corridor for the planes to fly in. So then they start metering at different airports. So it really throws a big kink in the whole system.
Well, now just think of that kink, and you've got 15 different countries who've got different mentalities. And a lot of the guys, I always cite the example, a friend of mine is a pilot at Lufthansa, and he was sitting in Italy. Now, Italy, he was sitting in Venice, in fact. And Venice is about not even an hour's flying time from where we're at. And he pitched up, and I'm, well, you're a little early. You've got a slot, right? And he says, well, I'll tell you about it when I land. And he phoned me up afterwards. He said, well, what happened? He sat at Venice and they get sea fog coming in. And he could see the fog was moving in. And he pushed the controller until the controller finally said, well, just get going. You know, even though he knew he had a slot and he was supposed to wait, he just and the Italian guy probably figures, well, I don't give a what's going on in Frankfurt. What do I'm interested in Frankfurt? Where's Frankfurt? And it's just an hour up the road. And of course, everybody does that, so everybody just gets to go, and you have no control over what happens in the. I can pretty much work with the adjacent FIRs, but anywhere outside of that,
right?
I'm done. I don't even have a line to deal with that kind of thing.
Your acronym department gets paid overtime, doesn't it?
Yeah. Something like that.
It's just as bad in the FAA.
Well, we got to take another break here real quick, and then we'll come back and talk more about some of these differences and the interesting considerations of the international air traffic control situation here on Push to Talk, the ATC Hour of EAA Radio.